Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker Wildman here, sitting in for my dad, Tim Wildman. He's out. He was out a couple days this week. He'll be back in on the show tomorrow. And Ray Pritchett will be back on the show tomorrow also. Fred Jackson sitting in with me. And now we have Steve Jordahl bringing us some news headlines. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Good morning. Thank you. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Fred, you wanted to, we wanted to transition back to the DNC convention for a little bit, right?
Yeah. One of the speakers last night was former Secretary of State John Kerry, who, as we might expect at a DNC convention, started to take apart President Trump and his foreign policy. And that was an emphasis from Kerry last night. Well, he had some interesting things to say. He was boasting about the Obama-Biden foreign policy in Iran. And then following that on Fox and Friends this morning, Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming, whose daddy knows something about foreign policy, responded to what John Kerry was claiming about the Obama-Biden foreign policy in Iran. Cut number six.
For the 8 years of the Obama-Biden administration, we led by example. We eliminated the threat of an Iran with a nuclear weapon. We built a 68-nation coalition to destroy ISIS. We forged a 195-nation agreement to attack climate change. We stopped Ebola before it became a pandemic.
John Kerry was the architect of the Iran deal, which had absolutely no verification mechanisms in it, which gave the Iranians a pathway towards a nuclear weapon. And not only that, but John Kerry then traveled around the world acting as the head of the Chamber of Commerce for the mullahs in Iran, trying to get investment money into Iran. Right. What President Trump has done is absolutely the opposite. He has said, we're not going to be part of a deal that gives us false comfort and gives the mullahs a pathway to a bomb.
Iran is a terrorist sponsoring nation.
Yeah.
What Barack Obama and Joe Biden did as part of their foreign policy, they returned hundreds of millions of dollars. We're talking cash on a pallet, flown into Iran. They are still a terrorist sponsoring nation. For John Kerry then to say, we work together with a coalition of more than 60 nations to put an end to ISIS. Remember the phrase, what was it, the junior varsity of ISIS?
Yeah, JV team.
The JV team. I mean, these. What's amazing to me, guys, is that these Democrats feel so comfortable telling outright lies to the American people.
Yeah.
And they know they're not going to be checked on it by the mainstream media. But that's what we heard from John Kerry last night. And then he's boasting about climate change.
Steve, it seems as if, I think there's a saying out there, I don't know who to credit it for, but about, you know, if you repeat something enough, especially a lie, that all of a sudden becomes the truth.
It's true.
Doesn't that seem to be their strategy?
That's something that, to my ear, the Democrats have been experts at for so long. They just have a talking point they keep saying, and they keep saying, and with the complicity of their national media encouragers, the mainstream media, that gets out there. Once you say and accuse somebody of something, it's out there. You cannot undo it or put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, and it really becomes their narrative becomes the basis for conversation. So if President Trump is a corrupt, illegitimate president, he colluded with the Russians, so on and so forth, that you have to first then dismiss that and disprove that before you can even begin to talk about how we think maybe President Trump is doing some things good for our country.
And not to change the topic too much, but the post office controversy is another example of that, where the Democrats have put out that President Trump is trying to subvert the vote by all the changes of the post office, when they know good and well that the changes of the post office have been in place for a while. It's been just a terribly run organization for years and years, and the sorting machines and all the changes there have been going on for years, or have needed to go on for years, and the photos of mailboxes being locked up were from back in the Obama-Biden days. So,
Yeah, you know, I covered this a little bit on Sandy's show when I hosted yesterday, but to your point, Steve, there were some pictures circulating of, there was one picture of mailboxes, post office boxes locked up, And then there were some of post office boxes stacked up like at a recycle facility, like they were just getting rid of them. But what people didn't say, and the people, especially the people who put out these pictures, is the picture of the mailboxes locked up. It was from President Obama's days, in a neighborhood where they were having mail theft. And then secondly, the other picture was also during President Obama's days, when they were having some P.O. boxes or some post office boxes repainted at a facility. Not to mention, lastly, and then I'll get your input, Fred, the President Obama was actually responsible for getting rid of over 12,000 drop boxes across the country.
Yeah,
they were reducing the number of drop boxes, and they reduced over 12,000.
Yeah.
But all that happened even before President Trump came in.
Yeah, I think what the Democrats are saying to the American people, listen to what we say. Don't pay attention to what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it is. I mean, Michelle Obama, on Monday night, the opening of the convention, referenced and said how terrible it was that President Trump was putting kids come across the border illegally with their parents in cages. She knows it was her husband that did that when he was president.
Yeah.
Now, she knew that. But, you know, she was comfortable enough saying and blaming President Trump for that practice or initiating that practice. And it wasn't cages.
Yeah.
It was areas that were fenced in because they have to keep the kids away from the parents who had illegally entered the country.
Yeah, I mean, the influx of these illegal immigrants, both adults and children, is so much that they do have to use basically warehouses to set up temporary detention facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in chain link fencing as a cost efficient option, just to give somewhere for these people to sit until they get processed. Another thing is that I did notice the AP actually called Michelle Obama out on this.
Yeah, it's the first fact check I think they've done on a Democrat.
Yeah, but Steve, if President Trump were to falsely accuse someone else of something that actually happened under his watch, you would have PolitiFact, you would have AP, Washington Post doing the
Facebook.
But Washington Post, what's
Pinocchio's,
their Pinocchio's. Yeah, they're Pinocchios. You would have all these different outlets doing this fact check, and it would just get spread around President Trump's lying.
Oh, without,
this has been debunked.
Without question. Hey, we've seen that over and over again from before he was even in the office, when he was just running. They started that.
Yeah. All right. What other stories you got, Steve?
I know you guys were talking last hour about the situation with the coronavirus and the churches in California and everything, and John MacArthur going against the governor, saying God's told us to do one thing. I'm getting a sense there is a growing frustration out there, not just among Christians and churches, but among the general public, about what's going on with masks and what's going on with the coronavirus stuff. Is it legitimate? How long is it going to go? There was a speaker in Shasta County, California. Shasta County is way up north in California, almost close to the Oregon border, a very conservative part of California. Yes, there are those.
Yeah.
And this is a gentleman named Carlos Zacata, who was in front of their county council. And he had some frustrations he wanted to vent. Brent, could you play cut 8?
I'm pretty appalled at what's going on. You know, at first we sat as concerned citizens and we all wanted to figure out how to best navigate our way through this whole COVID thing, you know. And as we realized that it's not quite as dangerous as we thought it'd be, you know, I was absolutely appalled at the cowardice, you know. And as you're sitting there with your masks on, I don't blame you for wearing masks, because I'd be hiding my face too if I was you for what you're doing. This is absolutely horrendous what you're doing to these people. I'm a business owner. And I'm telling you, our families are starving. You know, you guys can sit here with your jobs. You can sit here and you're going to get paid. You can fall asleep in your chair like that gentleman's doing behind his mask right there. Okay? Open the county. Let our citizens do what they need to do. Let owners of businesses do what they need to do to feed their families. Take the masks off. Quit masking and muzzling your children. The psychological damage that you're doing to them is horrible. I've had 6 friends kill themselves since it's happened. Veterans who lost their jobs. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people, and you're a part of it by wearing your masks. In Shasta County, we're supposed to be red country up here. Not blue country, we're red country up here.
There's some real anger out there.
Yeah, you know, he's a business owner, and there's millions of other business owners who have had their livelihoods and their wealth completely destroyed over this, and He mentioned the suicide there, and that is a huge problem that is not being discussed. Mm-hmm. We've even had the CDC director admit that more people are dying from suicide and drug overdoses than are dying from a coronavirus. Mm-hmm. In many age groups. So not just older people or younger people, but many age groups. So the frustration that business owner there is sharing is shared by many people. And the frustrating thing, one of the most frustrating things, and he voiced it there, is that you have governmental officials that haven't missed a paycheck. They're doing fine. They're taken care of. But they're making decisions to basically put other people out of work.
Yeah. Now, we've had the warning from psychiatric group for kids. Kids got to get back to school.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just something that President Trump is saying as a political speech. He's using science. You know, the Democrats like, well, we need to be guided by science. Mm-hmm. Well, the scientists are saying these kids need to get back in the classroom, especially the younger ones. We're talking the 5-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds. They have to have interaction with other kids their age.
Yeah.
And we've got millions of kids across the country right now that every day they're sitting at home. They've got a screen in front of them. This is not good. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not good what's going on. They're bored. They need to be out with other kids. Here's what I can understand. In some cases, the kids are still allowed to play with other kids in their backyard, but we're not going to allow you to do that at school.
Right.
So once again, I mean, I really do believe in many cases the cure that is being prescribed to this nation is far worse than what the disease will ever be.
Yeah.
And if we had honest politicians, they've got to get a hold of this.
You know, Fred, my fear is that we will never find out, because the politicians, the news media has been kind of saying the same kind of thing behind the politicians, have too much riding on their success, and it would be too embarrassing for them to actually reveal that all of this has been a waste of time.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, the one of the most frustrating parts of this, and the one that's really not waking people up like I thought it would, is that we're on the 7th month of this. It's one thing to do something for a couple weeks or maybe even a month or two, like slow the spread and all that, but you're on 7 months of governor edicts across the country, even Republican governors, doing mask mandates, and churches got to be shut down, businesses got to be shut down. And it's just concerning to me that we're 7 months into this, and everyone, I'm talking generally here, but a lot of people are really still bought in fully to this strategy that really hasn't been scientifically proven. I'm talking about the strategy of forced mask usage anywhere and everywhere, even with contaminated masks that you wear for 6 days before you wash them. All these different strategies. You've got kids that it's been scientifically proven that the chances of them, number one, of getting this COVID-19, but then the chances of them being severely ill drops down to a very, very point-something-something percentage point. But we're still treating them as if they're in some high-risk category, and there's not many people, at least people of influence, bringing these things to question and at least making governmental officials answer and justify their actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's already so many examples when you look to a few countries in Europe. I think Switzerland is one of them that's been monitored. And you look at South Dakota in our own country, where in South Dakota's case, the governor there, Kristi Noem, said, look, we kind of laid out the case of the possible dangers of this disease, but we're leaving it up to the people. We're leaving it up to our people to decide. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask.
Yeah.
If you want to shut down your business, shut down your business.
You know, Fred, and I actually think more people would respond positively to that.
Yes.
I actually think some of the people who are very resistant to these edicts would actually probably go along with high recommendations mm-hmm. from officials as opposed to mandates.
Yes.
Because there is something about our just being American citizens about edicts that we have no say over.
Yeah.
We like to have some kind of say over our laws and our regulations. And with this, there really hasn't been much of a say. And there really hasn't been much justification for the actions. I'm talking about where a governor or a mayor sits down at a press conference and says, here's the science, here's the strategy, and we have scientific evidence to prove that mandatory mask anywhere and everywhere, including outside when you're by yourself, it works to prevent COVID-19. But there's not really any of that really comprehensive discussion. It's more of, let's just do this and hope that it works.
One of the things that the president early on has been out there advocating is let's reduce the liability, because I think a lot of businesses in particular are worried about being sued if one of their employees comes down with COVID. Well, there's a couple of things there. Take the flu case. Employees of a restaurant are going to get the flu. Should the owner be held responsible for that employee getting the flu when maybe they got the flu from a family member? I mean, that's one of the reasons he's put out there. Let's do something about liability laws in this case, so that if the restaurant wants to open that has five employees, if an employee comes down with it, you don't automatically have the right to sue your employer.
Right.
Because that's one of the concerns that's been out there. So there's
that the liability, to your point, Fred, and then we'll move on to the next story. The liability question and issue, really, I think it is driving a lot of these overboard regulations and rules that are coming from the private sector, is because they don't want to be legally responsible for someone falling ill.
Yep.
Steve, what else you got?
You know, diversity training has been all the rage with corporate America these last few years, and even more now that we have the whole BLM movement and everything. Somebody leaked a slideshow that was being at a diversity training seminar at the Goodyear company, the tire and rubber people. And the diversity training, they had a screenshot that has zero tolerance as far as what messages you can display on clothing. Let me tell you what they say is acceptable messaging on the clothing if you work for Goodyear: Black Lives Matter, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride. Here's what is unacceptable, and remember, this is under zero tolerance. Blue Lives Matter, can't do that. All Lives Matter, it's out. MAGA, out. Political affiliated slogans or materials, out. President Trump reacted to this in a tweet. He said, don't buy Goodyear tires. They announced a ban on MAGA hats. Get better tires for less. Then he says, this is what the radical left Democrats do, speaking of the cancel culture. Two can play the same game, and we have to start playing it now.
Okay, Goodyear put out a statement, and it actually doesn't help the situation at all.
No.
I'm sure you've probably seen it, Steve, but Goodyear put out a statement on Twitter. I guess this was this morning, not even an hour ago. So this is probably new to Fred and Steve, but here's the essence of it. They admit that this is a legitimate slide. Here's what they say without further explanation. They say, first, the visual in question, talking about the picture, was not created or distributed by a Goodyear corporate, nor was it part of a diversity training class. But they don't go on to say where it even came from. And so this slide, they didn't say that slide did not come from a Goodyear office. They're claiming it just didn't come from corporate, but they're not addressing where that slide originated.
Yeah.
And to me, there's no way you can let this PR nightmare go by without admitting that this slide came from a Goodyear office in so-and-so city and state, and we've taken disciplinary actions for the employee that produced the slide.
Exactly. WIBW-TV reported that it was presented at a Topeka plant, Kansas, but that it came out of the corporate offices of Akron, Ohio. So they may be wrong about that reporting, but
very well could be. And I think more information will come out. But for Goodyear not to, number one, they didn't, in this statement, they really didn't even denounce the slide. They just tried to shuffle it off and say it wasn't us, but It clearly came from a Goodyear location.
Right.
What's amazing, it's so political. I mean, let's be honest. What you can say, what you can't say. What things you can display, what you can't display. And I mean, you can pretty well line things up according to political beliefs. And anything that would be perceived as being pro-conservative or Trump, we don't want you talking about it because somebody will be offended. But we're allowed to offend you, conservative, with anything. Yeah. That's our right.
Yeah, this is unbelievable that these companies are falling down so hard on the side of the left and the Democrats that it's really scary, Steve, that we have. It's one thing to have a political party that is very non-inclusive, meaning if you're not fully on board with their agenda, then you're out. Instead of big tent, it's small tent. It's one thing to have a political party that is pushing that narrative, but then to have big major tech corporations like Facebook, Google, and others who are following that same narrative and squashing the speech of anyone who goes against the Democrat Party. Now you have regular companies like a tire company saying, basically, if you like anything conservative, Republican, Trump, then that's unacceptable. But if you want to go to the left, well, that's fine.
This dates back years and years before the whole Trump thing, back to when groups like the HRC started putting out their corporate equality indexes where they would rate businesses on how gay friendly they were and put pressure on people and it's just the beginning of the cancel culture. Basically, if your company didn't toe the line, then you were considered a non-entity that you weren't, they put pressure on you and shamed you into endorsing these kind of positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the academic world too. There was a story about Iowa State University professor put out a list of things that students were allowed to talk about and not allowed to talk about. And if you talked about things that were on her list of unacceptable things, it was grounds for a dismissal from the class. And this professor, she said that are grounds for dismissal. The same goes for any papers, projects. You cannot choose any topic that takes at its base that one side doesn't deserve the same basic human rights as you do. Example she gives, no arguments against gay marriage, abortion, Black Lives Matter, etc. She says, so anything that you would write down that would put those groups, those issues in a negative light, that's grounds for dismissal.
Okay, let me read a little bit more of this Goodyear statement. We may have to cover some of this tomorrow. I didn't catch this until now. But they go on to say this, after the statement about they're trying to claim that this wasn't from corporate, but then they won't tell us where it came from. Here's what they say. To enable a work environment free of those, talking about harassment and discrimination, to enable a work environment free of harassment and discrimination, we ask that associates refrain from workplace expressions in support of political campaigning for any candidate or political party. As well as similar forms of advocacy that fall outside of the scope of racial justice and equity issues.
Yeah.
So as long as you're pushing BLM or Black Lives Matter or any other type of left-wing, quote, racial justice or social justice movement, as long as you're pushing that in the workplace, you're covered, you're good. Mm-hmm. But if you want to talk about maybe supporting police officers or something like that, we probably need to stay away from that.
Yeah.
So shocking admission there from Goodyear company, which really they just tried to fix something that just made it even worse with their statement there. We'll talk more about it maybe tomorrow. Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it, Fred.
All right, take care.
All right, today's issues, American Family Radio. Don't forget to check out our website, afr.net, and we'll be back tomorrow with more of today's issues.